foundation of, among other things, transparency and political stability for your country as a lawmaker. Because, one, unless you have all the money to do all the investments yourself, your goal would be to attract investors to, you know, to invest in the initiatives, you know, in the initiatives that you are running. Now, to do that, first, you first have to understand that, energy infrastructure takes time to build. This is a physical infrastructure. It's an industry that, I mean, it's, you are bringing together a lot of parts and a lot of experts and a lot of money. Now, no one wants to put their millions of dollars in an industry and then it's blown up the next day. And then they are told, well, you know what, the guy that was in office when you, well, you negotiated with when he came in the country, that guy's not there. It's now a bunch of guys, you know, it's now a bunch of guys with trigger happy fingers and armed with AK-47s. Those are the guys that, you know, they're in charge. If you approach these guys, they're going to tell you, well, what negotiations? He didn't negotiate that with us. It was with the previous administration, which we dissolved. More often when a bunch of leaders take, you know, when a bunch of these new leaders, especially from the military, with military background, when they take over office, one of the things they more often do is dissolve the constitution. Good luck asking your money from that guy.
And it's real concerns.
Yeah. If I had billions of dollars, I would think twice before pouring it into a country that is known for coups.
No.
Like, yeah.
No, but that's actually the best investment that you have to make, I would look at it.
In a coup?
A country that is prone to coups.
Well, if you have the guy, look.
Meaning the guy that you're working with today, you can offer the same deal to the guy that's coming tomorrow.
But here's the thing. Take Mali, for example. They had like three of them.
I said a very bad thing, but yeah,
you know,
it's what's happening, guys.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, what's happening. And the painful thing about small countries is that every time things like that happens, they are more often backed by a bigger power. Now, if you hear about a coup in a country and America hates that coup, chances are very high Russia and China like the coup. And if you hear a country that's, that has a coup that America is endorsing, chances are very high they're behind it. And China and Russia are not going to like that. So it's basically it's a giant geopolitical chessboard. Unfortunately, that's human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't press a button to switch it off. So, Secretary of State, was that Anthony Blinken that said that in the world of geopolitics, I'm paraphrasing here, in the world of geopolitics, if you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu. Which, coming from the State Secretary, I was like, hang on a second.
What are you busy with?
What are you up to?
It's like, what's his name? John Bolton. That went and said, yes, we have been in participating in regime change activities. And everyone was like,
He was asked, but are we still doing that? He was like, I'm like, wait, what? Did he just say yum, 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 yum?
When I was slightly younger, you know, we were doing some good work.
Yeah. In the name of,
democracy.
Private interest. Democracy is for, you know, PR.
Yeah, it's not a PR discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So, unfortunately,
and then he was.
We live in that world.
And he was arrested earlier this year.
You know, he's he's a Harvard law graduate.
Who sat on a.
You'll find some interesting leadership.
Was that intelligence committee.
John Bolton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is someone that, went to law school, graduated in law at Harvard, and then realized, this law thing doesn't pay. How about war? A point of correction. How about democracy? Let's stick to democracy. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our show for Vandaag on Salmore Cake.
On Salmore Cake.
On
Salmora cake. Mora cake sounds okay. You know that's your sentence. Okay. You own up to that sentence. We'll be here tomorrow, don't worry guys. Not Helmut's question of we will see each other.
Oh.
We will see if we are here tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, on Salmora cake means I'll see.
If I'll be here tomorrow.
I'll see tomorrow. Meaning it's an uncertain statement that you
Well, on the bright side, I didn't insult anyone.
Good stuff, yeah. Good, that's it.
On Salis or More. Okay, now we have to go.
Yeah.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the R.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chambi, and it's quite the right time to thank Helmut and Dwight with the Home Run program. Yes, as it has always been the case. Yes, we are moving forward with Business and Economic Segment. This is a platform that we discuss economic matters. This is a platform that we discuss trade. And today we are going right into it. We are going to speak about Africa Without AGOA. Africa Without Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. And maybe the question that we need to ask ourselves is that what can we do with what we have? Because it seems like the world is moving in a direction which was not actually predicted. But when you look at where we are standing in terms of AGOA, what the impact of AGOA when it comes to the development of Africa, and when those who are feeding you say enough is enough, you must stand on your own, is it fine for you to continue crying? Or you need to move forward with what you have. Issues of trade before we go forward. I want you to listen to a short clip from Maponga. He's a known intellectualist. He's a known intellectual African intellectual, particularly when it comes to Africanization, when it comes to Pan-Africanism, and also is a critical analyst, particularly when it comes to what is the African philosophy when it's coming to leadership, when it's coming to governance, when it's coming to the economy of Africa. Maybe you'll be able to get a picture to see where are we standing and what is that we need, especially to move forward with what we have. And just before we go there, I want you to just look at yourself now as an ordinary Namibian. And maybe you look at, we've been speaking quite about problems that we are facing, but I want you to look at yourself and also just start with what you are wearing. Is it made in Africa? Look at the watch that you put on. Is it made in Africa? Look at the shoes that you are wearing. Are they made from Africa? And look at also the seat or the chair that you are sitting on. Is it made by an African? Then you also ask yourself, just you can open your cupboard and also ask yourself for you to understand how global economy is working. Just look at your cupboard and also look what do you have there. Open your fridge and also ask yourself, how many of these fruits are made and packaged in Namibia? And you will be surprised when you are doing an assessment of your house. Then you realize that 80% of the things that you have are made outside the country and are sold to you. And what is very interesting, it could be that 80% of also those things that are in your house are made outside the country, but with products or similar products or similar materials that, you know, that are coming from Namibia, or similar products or similar materials that are in Namibia. Then the question that you need to ask yourself is that, how can Africa move forward without Africa Growth and Opportunity Act? Because remember, we spoke quite frankly about global changes and tariffs, but America is also going through its own problems. Currently, as we are speaking in the United States of America, there is what we call a government shutdown. The government shutdown happened when there is a disagreement between policymakers and they are not able to reach agreement in terms of majority. At the center of that is the aspect of Obamacare, the subsidies on supporting health. And with an argument or with a debate which have gone for quite almost 2 weeks, it led to the point where this leaders of two major political parties in the United States of America to reach a deadlock that there is no, you know, there is no agreement in terms of passing the funding, you know, for government activities. And the question that we are asking is to say, why can't we look internal and see what can we move, how can we move with what we have? So those are the questions that you are asking yourself. And let's look at NHP.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yes, we understand that the United States is also going through her own problems. And the question that we also need to ask and continue asking ourselves is that, what are the tangible things that we are coming up with which are showing that we can stand on our own? Because remember, and also what lesson are we going to learn from this when what have already happened, because AGOA ended yesterday, and there is no there are talks about renewal. African countries are still crying about renewals, but have we thought about another plan? And when we are thinking of moving to BRICS, how long are you going to stay there? When you are thinking about moving to work with the Eastern world, for how long are you going to stay there? What are the internal mechanisms which are still operational that we are going to work with? But I want you to listen to Joshua Maponga and also get a clear picture. And on that ground, I also want you moving forward, also to listen to the President of Ghana, what he stated in United Nations General Assembly, especially when he spoke about the future is in Africa, the future is Africa. But let us listen in this 3 minutes from Joshua Maponga and get a picture of where we are standing, particularly in Africa.
But do you think Traore is becoming a threat to African leaders?
He's not a threat.
Most African leaders.
He has become a model. And let me say this. Let me just sit up straight.
Yes, please.
Any African president who's coming into power in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, I'm here. With all our social media footprint and influence.
Yeah.
You tell me the one you want to become president, we will give them the agenda of the items we want them to attend to. We will not be recycling these old bags and old sacks of political thugs who go to parliament to sleep and fart in parliament. No, no, no. We need a new breed of thinkers who are only not looking for food and cannot see beyond their nose. We have an agenda to achieve the Africa that we need for all of us. Therefore, we need to start looking at Traore as a model for which any African leader who is coming into power. I feel sorry for Biya and Cameroon. Honestly,
I was going to come to the old people.
93 years.
There's Biya and there's Alassane Ouattara, who is also 83. When you see these old leaders still stuck on that seat and still wanting to be president, what is the problem?
You know what? They don't want to be presidents.
What do they want?
They are funders.
And?
Want them in power. They are protected. Like those they've signed bilateral agreements with.
At 93?
Cameroon is being run by France. The president is sick. Sitting in Cameroon for 8 months, 9 months in his hospital bed. The French embassy in Cameroon is running Cameroon. Shocked?
Not really.
But that's the reality.
Yeah.
The whole media of Biya is being run from France, from Paris. What do you expect? So in as much as you talk about African leaders want to hold on to power, hold on, but come on, come on, just open up your eyes a little bit.
Is it the same for Ivory Coast?
They don't.
Alassane Ouattara is 83.
The whole
thing. There were even demos last week, actually.
Who has an interest in his power? Is it the local people or the foreign multinational companies who have an agreement with him to do trades for so many years? Some of them got 30 years, some of them 99 years to do business with this guy. What makes you think that they'll be willing to watch and wait for you as a small little young opposition leader to come into power to overturn the treaties that they've signed? Are you not aware that in Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, the French are lurking around looking for coups to push these guys out? Why? They want to renew the old contracts. This is business. Politics is a prostitute of economics. If you talk about politics, they're talking about money and business, treaties, trade agreements, and whoever is in power must protect these trade agreements.
Yeah, that is Joshua Maponga. Joshua Maponga is a thinker. He's a thinker. And when you are looking at the content, it will be able to give you a picture of where are we standing, and also what is the politics of Africa, and also what will happen in the next 20 years or so. And it will give you a prediction to say what are most likely things to happen in terms of trade, and also in terms of, human development. And what is that thing that we are going to do well? What is that thing that we are going to do well? Looking at AGOA, one may be able to go back and look at why AGOA was, initiated, and what was the aim of AGOA, and who was benefiting from this, because a lot of analysts, they are speaking about Africa is also losing. Who else was benefiting from this? And when we are speaking about jobs are going to be lost, who was working in those, industries? And what is so difficult to set up same industries that similar to people that you are working in? Because remember, for the past 25 years, you have a trained human capital. You You have a trained human capital. You have capacity. You have developed your skills. And why are we crying so much? Why Kenya is crying so much, thinking about 66,000 jobs already start being lost due to that, you know, non-renewal of AGOA? Those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. Now, let us go back. Why AGOA was formed? And who was supposed to benefit from this AGOA? And was it stated that it was going to be a forever agreement? Because if you trace back AGOA, the law was enacted in 2000, and it provided opportunities for sub-Saharan African countries to trade on duty-free access in the American market. Then the question we ask ourselves, what is that that we got from an American market? What is that experience that we can still use moving forward? And you want to tell me, and you want to make it very clear to say, are we going not to stand on our own? Are all people in Africa going to die when you don't have extra assistance? Or is the world going to move forward when relationship becomes sour? Yeah, because in terms of trade, in terms of international relations, and also in life, relations are unpredictable. Relationships are unpredictable. Relations change. They are renegotiated. They are watered. But there are times where you say, enough is enough. There are unreconcilable disputes. That's why you're asking yourself to say, what was our game plan? Because AGOA was not supposed to end in 2025. It was supposed to end earlier because it was extended. What was our game plan when we got into AGOA? And what are the best thing that we got, you know, from AGOA? And are we really practical? Because as I'm indicating to you that with issues of economy, there's always a shock, there's always unpredictability. But where is our resilience? There's an opinion article I wrote. It's my own opinion. It's my own view on our economic defensive mode in Namibia. To say we are still at an economic defensive mode. And when you read that in the Villager newspaper today, you can also be able also to see, what do I mean when I speak about economic defensive mode? Because if you are in a football match and you are just defending, you are protecting your goalpost, you are just defending, how are you going to win the league? How are you going to win the game if you are not attacking? So we are speaking so much beautiful plans about our national development. We are speaking so much about industrialization. We spoke so much about industrialization. Then the question we should continue asking ourselves is that, what are those 2% that we have done to make sure that we did what is said we were going to do? Where are those tangible things? Are we still not defending ourselves? Are we still not defending? We are playing a defense. Even if we did not score any goal, we are just defending. Look at the unsustainability of economic defense. I don't want to speak about why we do not have a national airline, because we were defending instead of transforming the institution. We were defending. We are just subsidizing. We are bailing out. We continue to bail out an institution instead of transforming those institutions. Now, how are we going to engage with the Eastern? What lesson have we learned from the West that we are going to engage with in the Eastern part, especially in the context of the whole Africa? Because if we are in an economic defense mode, not only in Namibia, but many other countries, what are the other strategies of defense? Subsidization of electricity. you already know that without the National Energy Fund, nobody would, or 70% of Namibia would not afford electricity without the subsidization, because the government is covering and defending us. But are we? Why are we not attacking? Because if you are playing defense and you don't have a goal, how are you going to win? Not only electricity, oil too. If the government was not subsidizing oil in Namibia, we wouldn't, maybe most of the cars would be parked. Already, we wouldn't achieve, we wouldn't, afford to buying at the right price, without defense mode. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself now is to say, the money that we are using to defend, what if we could have used that money, we took a risk and expand industries? Because if you move around Namibia, you ask yourself, where are the industries that we said we are going to build, that we are going to show people in 2030? Where are the industries? And we still have to see the sustainability of, and we wish it to be a success, the sustainability of green schemes. We still have to see the sustainability of green schemes. What are they going to bring about, and how is this production going to be sustained? And what is the chain in terms of value addition going to look like? Because today when we speak about how to move forward with what we have, it also has to look at lesson learned. Lesson learned. So let us take the caller. Hello?
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Shombe.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm very sorry to come in so early.
You don't need to apologize.
In the beginning of your program. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I always tell those facilitators, after knowing the ground rules,
mm-hmm.
which you know already laid down by this platform.
Mm-hmm.
So the rules that we need to follow in terms of our opinions,
mm-hmm.
how we engage ourselves, and all these other things.
Mm.
So, yeah, I always ask people, I mean, the lecture, especially those lectures, who very facilitate those maybe training workshop and other events.
Mm.
So, please, what time do we have, at which point can we ask a question or a query or things? You know, me, I'm an adult learner.
you are actually what we need. You are a lifelong learner.
Yes,
and everybody must be a lifelong learner. You know, it's a conversation. It's a conversation. That's why when you find it's necessary at that point in time, there is no because we have already gave you a picture of what we are going to speak about, and if you are in a conversation, we must interact, and that is exactly the aim of the program. Because if I have introduced the topic, why shouldn't you come in? Because you would also save us in terms of your input. It could be that the input that you are giving is more valuable, and we can build on that. That's why the aim is to have a meaningful conversation that people will get one thing or two. Especially on developmental issues. That's why you are free to give your opinions and your view on topics being discussed.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shombe.
Yeah.
You have just highlighted some of the critical important values and the issues as to how we can interact and have some kind of dialogue.
Mm.
An important issue, because these are very, very important issues that we discuss.
Mm.
And now, yes, it's true. Maybe I don't know where we are. In fact, before I forget, before I forget, let me just point out this one.
Mm.
So, yes, you have just mentioned about the interaction, the importance at any point and things like that. My brother, the way you view some kind of facilitations and discussion and conversation and dialogue of this nature.
Mm.
So the participatory democracy and all these things that people talk about.
Mm.
And I'll just give an example. So you just took over from Helmut and Dwight, with all due respect.
Yeah.
But you can imagine how many times I've been calling in that program.
Yeah.
But they are having a conversation. They want to contribute also, and we also want to contribute at those points that they were talking about.
Mm.
We're even talking about alcohol under the age of 18 and all this legal age and limit and things like that. But you still see children running in street with a bottle of alcohol.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm.
So now, I'm just mentioning this one. So in terms of, the lifelong learning that we're talking about.
Mm.
So do you just go to the parents and have a conversation with the traditional leader, you just talk and go?
I'm trying to get you, what is the question I'm trying to get you? I'm not getting you.
What I'm saying is that you have just explained to me and to the nation that yes, at any point in time when you have a conversation, you can raise your query.
Yeah.
And then you ask.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, yes, these are the aims of the program, the aim and objective of the program.
Mm.
It's the right to interact, to discuss and dialogue about issues that affect us, especially in economic and social, you know, those things are intertwined.
Mm.
So now I'm just giving an example. I say it's good because I'm an adult learner.
Yeah.
And my approach to programs of this nature, so important,
yeah,
is that I always ask, can we ask a question or do you want to wait for the person to finish presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you can finish the presentation, but in the process, many of the people will be lost, especially those who do not take notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you to ask at the end of the programs, for me, I at any point, any issue and things like that, I'm not saying that we should be interrupting you to finish and give us the what you want.
Okay, for now you can ask the question. We can discuss. I want your view on that topic. I got that one. I got it. Yeah, that one I got it.
You got it, no?
Yeah, I got it.
It's not the first time I've been complaining about it.
No? Mm-hmm.
And it's waste our time. That is the time, maybe from 5 or is it 4:30? That, I think that time is like, I'm not saying that I cannot dedicate it. I can dedicate it to my training and all this other thing.
Yeah, you can, I got what you are saying. If you are what you are indicating is what I'm getting, I got what you are saying. So, yes.
Let's leave it there. Let's pack it there.
Okay.
We can unpack it during another time.
Yeah.
So, this morning we were talking about the security, the human rights and the freedoms, the principles that are enshrined into our constitution, that yes, this the respect of liberty and life, actually.
Who was talking about human rights?
Yeah, because we are saying that the descendants.
That was part of
to someone.
Yeah.
Does that not violate constitutional principle or natural law?
You know what we can do now? What we can do, let us look at the content that we have on the table today, especially when AGOA is not renewed, then we will work with, yeah, with that on the later stage, because let us engage on that.
We talked to that one, but this morning, you remember we were talking about Is it permissible to punish somebody to death? And what, irrespective of the crime that's committed? So now let's go to AGOA.
Yes.
So AGOA, AGOA, you know all the benefit and the opportunity that come.
Now there is no more AGOA. How can we move forward with what we have?
If you do not have AGOA, what do you mean? Because you have the potential. There are sectors, my friend, the sectors that you can even, you, ourselves, look at the agriculture, for example. If you look at the NDP 6, we are told that there are opportunities that come with digitally tech. Maybe we need to build infrastructure. How do we do that? It's part of the industrialization that you are talking about. So now we can now marshal up our resources. You have got these guys from VTC. You have got these people who are actually under the threat of digital technology, for example. So now these people need service. Or do you only want the service to come from the government? Do you know how many people... the project, the youth project that was recently announced, and people have said, I've got a newspaper here, I can get it for you, and then they say this amount, this kind of project.
That one we can say we look at the internal, what we can do internal, but the question that we are also asking ourselves is that what is our ability to sustain things, because there is always a problem with sustainability. Starting a project in Namibia is not a very difficult thing. Project have been started, industry have been started, but have we seen the final conclusion of those industries?
Set up your management style. That's not leadership issue.
Yeah.
Management style, the way you manage your finance, the way you do things, and ethical conduct. Many a times we hear there are a lot of projects that I can name one by one. We started here and the people got funded on the roads, on the school infrastructures, and they chopped the money. So we need to shape up our behaviors, our attitudes. So now the other thing that I was maybe in conclusion is that that money, that money that was is availed, that's there, is for those cost-cutting economic sector. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Are you getting me?
I hear you.
So work on the legal framework.
Yeah.
And the digital infrastructure. If you have got some guys, today I was listening to the radio and they are also just law students who are mobilizing and trying to serve the community. Can we do the same thing and combine with those psychologists and all these other things? God bless you, man.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, good job. Yes, thank you, Uncle Buena. And it's always very important to give the input and also look at point moving forward. We are speaking about AGOA. We are speaking about how can we move forward with what we have, because when you look at issues of international trade, when you look at issues of international trade, you must also be able to be very clear about what really happened to African continental agendas. Because remember, Africa has always been very clear about where they want to go. The problem is a surprise on the way, because at the end of the day, there is somebody who is, you know, dictating on trade. Although you have a referee in an international trade, that is World Trade Organization, there are those countries which are more powerful and can influence decisions and can come up with their own, trade laws, whether they are hating you, as long as they are pushing their interest. Now the question that we need to ask ourselves is that I ask you to say, look at what you are wearing, look at what you eat every day, and also deduct all those things. Then you live only with what is being produced by Namibians, 100% by Namibians. Then you'll be surprised that you'll be left with an empty room. We'll be surprised that even the blankets that you are using, they are not made in Namibia. Even water purification chemicals that are used, they are not made in Namibia. Then is that not an opportunity? Why can't we invest in what we consume? Why can't we invest in what we consume? Because AGOA is already done, and the dreams of Organization of African Unity, which is now AU, the dream of the Africa that you want. When you read that document, you will think Africa is going to be paradise. When you read that, when you take time and read Africa Agenda 2063, the dream of Africa, the aspiration of the Africa that you want, the Africa where development is going to be human-centered, the Africa of peace and stability, and the Africa of where women and children rights are protected. And you look at the Africa, which is global and economic competitive. Look at those aspirations. Very beautiful. And you will be very proud to be an African when you are reading those aspirations. Looking at what is on the ground, Kajengo said something that the speech are overpowering the actions. But what is that we can really do? What is that we can really do? Can we jump in all the projects, then we end up doing 20%, 20%, or we should be more intensive and concentrate on few critical areas? If we are going to agriculture, the research must focus on agriculture. Fundings must go to agriculture research. Technological advancements must go on agriculture. If you are thinking about mineral beneficiation, let us go straight to that and see what we can do. Because Africa does not only have a potential in terms of population or young population, but Africa is the future if you want to make it the future. Because we actually have everything. Do you know what have happened in France when the Sahel regions cut their economic ties? The economy of France is collapsing. And it's not only because of that. It's because of that dependency. But now, there is now a proposed alternative to say, although you cannot cut off the world because the world is a global village, you can find an alternative to say, let us accelerate the internal trading of Africa, Africa continental free trade area. If we accelerate that, then we can get tap into that combined GDP of $3.4 trillion. Then we can leverage that 1.4 billion population. Because if you look at how Shanghai Cooperation Summit or how Shanghai Cooperation Organization are operating, they are going beyond prediction of IMF in terms of economic growth.
Short on cash, here's what you can get for less than 20 Namibian dollars at USAID. 750 milliliters Polagric dishwashing liquid, 14.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, 14.99 Namibian dollars. 200 grams Champion liver spread, 19.99 Namibian dollars. 100 milliliters Aquafresh toothpaste, 19.99 Namibian dollars. And a packet of Tiffany cream biscuits for just 6.99 Namibian dollars. You save your low budget grocery store with good food, cost less.
Yeah, we are looking at the future of Africa without AGOA. What can we do? How can we move forward with what we have? And I want you to listen this part of speech from the president of Ghana when he was addressing the United Nations General Assembly. And also I want you to reflect on that and also see when he's speaking about the future is Africa, what does he mean? Is it a political statement? Can it be done? Or is just another speech, another day, then we continue dealing with our daily struggle?
Thank you, Madam President, Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies, ladies and Gentlemen, at this 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly, I'd like to speak about Africa's role in the future of this organization. However, it's impossible to do that without first considering the collective role that Africa played in its founding, which was small and relatively insignificant. Of the 51 member states involved in the founding of the United Nations in 1945, only four were African: Egypt, Ethiopia, Liberia, and South Africa. It is important to point out that the United Nations came into being in the aftermath of World War II because of the inability of its predecessor, the League of Nations, to avert a large-scale global conflict, which had been its guiding purpose when it was founded in 1920 at the end of the First World War. Out of the 42 founding member states of the League of Nations, only three were African: Liberia, the Union of South Africa, and Ethiopia. Egypt was to join later in 1937. Africa's overall participation in the organization's founding was minimal and relatively unimportant. That's because before all the other talks and meetings, representatives from a group of 14 nations gathered in Berlin for a series of discussions that began in 1884 and which led to the partitioning and formal colonization of the African continent, which is also called the Scramble for Africa. It has famously been written that past is prologue. Well, in the past, the majority of the 54 nations that now comprise Africa were never offered a seat at the table where plans for a new world order were being drawn. But, Madam President, as fate would have it, the tables are turning, and Africa's role in the authorship of whatever is yet to come for this world is going to be huge, and it will be consequential. According to this organization's own projections, by the year 2050, more than 25% of the world's population is expected to come from the African continent. Additionally, by 2050, one-third of all young people aged between 15 to 24 will be residing on the African continent. So you see, the future of this world is African. Allow me to say this once again a little louder for those of you in the back. The future is African. Already today, Africa is a catalyst for human potential and development, as well as for economic reform and ecological stability. Africa is a catalyst for systemic change. If this reality, which is fact-based and straightforward, seems provocative or unsettling, perhaps it's because you are viewing it through the lens of centuries of filters, colonialism and imperialism, and the resulting implicit bias. Maybe you are unaware of the resilience of African nations or their remarkable ability to make a strong comeback just when you think it's safe to count them out. That is what is happening right now in my own country, Ghana. Our constitution limits leaders to 2 4-year terms. In January, I was sworn in for a second term, which, let me point out, was non-consecutive with my first term. Our currency, the Ghana cedi, was rapidly depreciating. Faced with rising inflation, a huge debt burden, and low morale amongst our citizens, my new administration settled down quickly and embarked on an ambitious program of comprehensive transformation designed to restructure Ghana's economic foundation and enhance our competitive standing globally. We refer to this process of recalibration as our reset agenda. In just 8 months...
Yeah, that is the president of Ghana at the United Nations General Assembly. And one thing that I'm always asking myself is that if what African politicians say, or if you want to move forward, we don't need a lot of things in Africa. We just need to connect what we say with what we do when we are done. Because there is quite a big gap between what is being said, what our aspirations are, what you want to do, and also what you are really doing. There's a quite a very big gap between that. Because predictions are indicating that by 2050, the population between the age of 50 and 24 will be found in Africa. Africa still has an advantage of the youngest population. And that does not only happen every period of time. It's situational based on various factors. But the question is that, are these young people working for Africa? Now, ask yourself this question. When you are looking at the clothes that you are wearing, when you are looking at the food that you are, eating, who is at the edge of receiving that coins? Who is at the edge of receiving that money? Who are you supporting? And why can't we do, what others are doing? Have you ever thought of coming up with few things that we can come up with, especially when it's coming to products that we are buying from outside? I'm yet to see real products such as washing soaps, the basic things that we do at home, fully packaged, coming from Namibia. We know there are those who are trying. Are these people supported? Those who are trying, are they supported? Or they are disrupting the market? Because one of the things that we should also clear out is that if we are looking at the future of Africa without AGOA, we should also sort out some of the things that that we don't need somebody to come from outside to teach us. It's collaboration and the power of working together with other African people. Do you know that Africa, we have more internal fight continentally than the conflict that we have with the outside world? Ask yourself this question. How many African countries have direct conflict with the external world? Maybe one, maybe none. But how many of the African countries have internal conflict, state-to-state conflict, wherever they find themselves? And let us also not look at the national level. Let us also look at the personal level. How do we deal with other human beings? How do we build relationships with other human beings? And how are we going to, how do we view ourselves? Because at the end of the day, it's also a matter of how you view yourself and also how you view people that are going in the same situation as you are. Yeah, because if we still have inferiority complex, the issue of saying we are African, the issue of undermining our intelligence, then we should forget about industrialization. Issues of undermining intelligence. I love international reports. I love continental reports. But that should not blind me to say whatever is said on an international ground does not need criticism or does not need scrutiny. So it's quite loaded to say now those who have been supporting us, they are also tired. People are also tired. Say, no, guys, stand on your own. Stand. We are just speaking about what we are going to do. And listen to this upcoming election. Listen to our politician what they are saying, especially local authority politician. Listen to what they are saying. Go and evaluate what others have done. Compare the speech with action. Yes, you can speak about the unexpected challenges in accomplishing what he said or what she said she was going to accomplish. But is it even 40% of what was stated? So it's a matter of us to accelerate African continental free trade area, and also it's a matter of us to accelerate internal innovation, and also internal creativities. When I look at research and development, which was quite an exhausted, topic to say we still do not invest in research and development. Because when you speak about let us invest in research and development, we are not speaking about let us be like others. When we invest in research and development, we also invest in creativity, and we also invest in innovation. Just look at our educational curriculum. Now people are speaking about indigenous knowledge, but just look at the educational curriculum itself. Then you look at the content which is there. Then you are asking yourself a question to say, in terms of economy, in terms of putting economy online, how much of African knowledge, what is the contribution of African to economic theories and also economic models? Because we are trying to solve problems with a tool that was not made for us. Yeah, because economic scholars and researchers, academicians, and also practical, even practical economists, when they are coming up with these theories, when they are coming up with this model, in many cases they are testing the system with environment that they have, not necessarily with Africa, because a lot of things in Africa they are going down. And we are still applying same theories that we've been applying in 1990. We are still having the same funder, same consultant that is planning our plan, who does not even live to see the materialization of this plan. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation. And you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. Like I say, read the paper, read the Villager newspaper, develop the culture of reading. And that is the only way that you are going to equip yourself with content. And that is the only way also you are going also to sharpen your reasoning. And also to enter into the conversation that matters. Because the aim is always to elevate the conversation beyond the obvious, to make sure that the conversation is not only limited to mere table conversation, but real conversation that at least one day you get one or two things that you can apply at home. Because if you are sitting around, you are in your room, you are in your flat, you are at home, but almost everything that you use was never not made in Namibia. Then you must be scared, and you also must have a plan to say, if at one point I get money, where should I invest in? Where is the opportunity here? And yeah, we have come to the end of our conversation. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Uncle Fly with Umtuma. And to live in the good hands of Uncle Fly, with Umtuma. And, stay tuned. See you, next time, same time, same place.
Lipura nengeno wapombwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko IGL FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu. Heari bali no heari ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane IGL FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, Imatina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, Iamoyao, Otaingo Gotisamani, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Seithanina Omeaguro, Niranditoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. We 20 Meha Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu moambo dengira soma konara heta tuimu datu ndatu heari hamano tano oaniyaji Eagle FM.